Father, we come to you again tonight, Lord, and thank you for this day. Thank you for this precious book that we're opening up and ask you to give us wisdom, anoint us, help us understand. And Lord, I pray tonight, it's a little different type of teaching. I pray that we would leave this place looking at you in a different way than we've ever looked at you before. And Father, you're our great, gigantic God. And this creation that you brought into existence, man, is just a small, minute part of it, though man's in the image of God. And dear Lord, the world looks at God in such a small scale. I pray tonight that you magnify yourself in our hearts like you have me. Lord, I hadn't studied this without just feeling shouting all the time. And in awesome of God who would love me so much when he didn't have to. And dear Lord, to do what he's done for us in humanity when he didn't have to. When we see what he's able and capable of doing. And yet have a loving heart. He's worked with man now 6,000 years because he loves it. Help us tonight to see you through eyes that we've never seen you before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I'm going to try to do something that is an impossible task. Believe me, I've been in this for weeks, and as I get into it, it overwhelms me. And I've tried to take it, and I'm going to do it for a period of time, now divide it up into about two different sessions. Tonight, we're going to start with a lower part, you might say, of God's creation. And then next Sunday night, move into things I guarantee you never have seen before, as I have a DVD tonight just to show some slide presentations that John has helped me put together. And then next week we'll see a DVD at the end of the message, about 23 minutes long, that takes a trip through the universe. And I've been searching and searching and searching and found this particular trip is biblical based. And I think when we get to that, your mind will be blown. That's all there is to it. You see, what I'm trying to do is what we all try to do. We're limited trying to explain the unlimited God. We're finites trying to explain the infinite. That means he's so much beyond where we are that if he even tries to explain himself, we can't comprehend it all to start with. You can't do it. He's too great. He's too awesome. God is. And then for man to think that they can dictate to God what God does, just blows my mind, because God is so much beyond what we are, and yet we have life that he's given to us, and man will play with God like he does and has no bigger concept of who God is than he has in our particular day. So I'm going to go just a few words at front, and then we're going to look at some things, and I'll go from there about the creation and what God is doing. Now, back not too long ago, I was reading an article that had to do with an evolutionist and the response of a Bible believer. And the evolution went something like this. He said, you don't know what you're talking about. Evolution is proven fact. Well, that's not true. But that's the way they say. It's in the textbook. It's got to be facts. Open any textbook and you can see for yourself. There are tons of missing links in the fossil record. The evolution of man. A man goes back to apes, as anyone with a mind can see. Not my mind. Religious, like you, are afraid to look at the facts. Maybe you should learn to think instead of letting preachers tell you what to think. Have you ever heard of Jonestown? You will believe and do anything a preacher tells you. Then this response of this brother said, your point about the textbook is a concern. The fact is that the textbooks and educators continue to teach as fact what evolutionary researchers have long since disowned. I consider this to be a shame to our education system. If evolution scientists have openly admitted the so-called missing links have in fact been disproven, why are the schools still teaching this as facts? It is not only creation researchers, but many of these missing links were proven false by evolutionists themselves. The fossils record does not point to evolution, and there is no transitional fossil that can give any credibility to the theory that man evolved from apes. Evolution scientists may still believe that man evolved from apes, but they have long since admitted that the transitional missing link taught in the textbook is false. Now, the evolution went back on it. It's in the textbook, isn't it? If it's in the textbook, it's true. It's a fact. I'm sorry, but that's not so. There have been proven a lot of things in textbook have been proven, especially when it comes to science, even though there's a lot of things that are right. I think about the little girl went to her dad one day and said, "Mother." Or went to a mother one day and said, "Mother," said, "How did the human race come into existence? How did we appear?" And she said, "Honey, that's simple." Said, "You know, God created Adam and Eve. They had children, and so all mankind came from them." A few days later, she went to her dad and said, asked the same question. Said, "Dad, I want to ask you, how did human race come into existence?" And he began to talk to her. He said, "Oh, that's simple, honey." He said, "Many years ago, there were monkeys. And then all of a sudden, through the chain that came, the human race developed from monkeys." And she was confused. She went back to mother and said, "Mother, I don't understand this." Said, "You tell me God created this, and Dad tells that we came from monkeys. How can you explain that?" And the mother said, "It's simple, honey. You have to understand. I told you about the origin on my side, and he told you about his origin on his side." Well, we will look at God's Word and try to look at from God's viewpoint tonight. Now, I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, you know we've got to read this. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if we go over in Genesis chapter 2, and we'll look in just a couple of references in Genesis chapter 2, and we'll look in verse 4. It goes on. Of course, we see that in verse 1 says, "Thus the heaven and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God in his work, which he had made, he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made." Verse 4 said, "These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." If you look with me also in John chapter 1, and we go to the New Testament, in John chapter 1, we have these words that are written, where John said in verse 3 and 4, he said, "All things were created by him, or made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." If I also look at what Paul said in Colossians chapter chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17, he says, "For by him were all things created that are in the heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him," and notice, "and for him." Do you see that? Not only created by him, but for him. And notice verse 17, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible begins with God, and so does creation. It begins with God. And creation starts there. When you think about what this universe is, now I'm so fascinated because I do a lot of studying. I never get to do the pulpit. I just amazing to study the anatomy of our body. I'm talking about the physical breakdown and look of our body. How wonderful we are made, as the Bible says. And yet, this in itself, looking at ourselves, blows our mind. The heart of man that pumps blood through our body is just an amazing instrument that comes from birth. It's an amazing thing. When you think about the things we see around us in the invisible world, in the field of science and otherwise, then we move out into space and begin to see something even greater, because the earth is a small planet in the boondocks of the universe. In our universe and in the universe when it comes to the makeup of the galaxy and so forth, you never get off to a good start without God. Anyone who denies God ends up looking foolishness for us over with to try to explain anything. I mean, we've heard the bang theory so much that even evolution get embarrassed when they hear it, because the bang theory just don't make sense. I mean, ain't no way in this world that you'd take a Mack truck. There's no way in the world that you could say over billions of years every product of that truck came together by itself. I mean, you know, it's one day there's a wheel over here assembling itself. Over here is a motor assembling itself. Over here is a body assembling itself. And over here was here's a gear shift. And here was a transmission. And all these things that millions of years assemble over here by themselves. And then suddenly, for some reason, they come together and bang, one day we have this Mack truck runs like a kitten. I mean, it just happened. Now, anybody with any intelligence in the world can look at that, and though I don't even understand all this, I need to understand about a Mack truck. But I'll tell you this, it did not come by itself. There's a mind behind it. There was someone who had in their mind intents in the sense of bringing that into existence from a thought to begin to paper and then to material things in this world. And you can name anything that you look at with your eyes this week, and you'll find there was a mind behind it. Somewhere or another, there's a design behind it. And because of that, you know someone, it was a thought before it ever came a reality. And so when we think about that, we say, that's right, that makes sense. And then all of a sudden someone come up and tell us that this universe and you and I, which is beyond anything you see, as far as how the mechanics works, it just came by itself. Just impossible. I know I'm not very smart, but I'm glad I'm smart enough to know that it took more than just things happening. It took the mind of God. The Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. We know that. If our Bible was just another book, we would expect another book to be written later. Evidently, a lot of folks think there is a different book. We keep rewriting the Bible. The Bible is not just a book. It is a divine revelation. And God has given us many things to see through His Spirit and by His Spirit through His Word that the world will never see. People deny the Bible has been inspired to minimize sin. You see, if the Bible is not true, we have no authority about sin. Where else can you find anyone given authority about sin? How can you find the origination of sin without the Bible? You can't. You cannot. People deny the Bible has been inspired to minimize sin. And God the Holy Spirit led in the translation of the Bible. For no unsaved person wants God's Word in their midst. It's too rebuking. You cannot live a life of sin and pleasure of the flesh when you know the Word of God. Because the Word of God rebukes us when we find ourselves trying to do just that. So God moves to translate in a language that we can understand. Then Satan moves to rewrite that language and rewrite that language to deceive and destroy his true meaning. And he does it with the almighty dollar behind it. That is what attracts it. I mean, literally, I tell you what, there won't be much printing of the Word of God in any form in revised standards if it won't for money. They're not going to print it for nothing. It's a way Satan attracts because it's for money. Sister Britt gave me the other day a paper that showed on there the bestsellers in the time, I believe it was. And the Bible's number one. The Bible's the bestseller of any book of all times. And no matter, it keeps right on being the bestseller because people keep rewriting it. And everybody gets it to think they're going to understand it better because it's written in their language. Hey, if you're not saved, forget it. You can't understand the Scripture without the Holy Spirit of God. And God has told us that over and over. So in the Old Testament, the prophets asserted over 2,600 times that the Bible is the Word of God. There are 525 assertions in the New Testament. Now, I believe that God is the creator of all things. And I believe that God the Son was originator in the sense of doing these things. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, 17, He created by Him and for Him, the Scripture tells us. I'm going to get into this, that God the Father and God the Son, and how they did it together. But I know this, God's Son has the power of God and did do what He did for Himself and for God. Also, I know that I believe that we take our place in Moses, at least I do, take my place with Moses in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and I take my place also with Revelation chapter 4, where I find these words are written, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, the Scripture says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. As you look in the Scriptures, you'll find that this Lord is the self-existent one. In chapters 2 of Genesis, verse 4, the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. The Lord Jehovah is the self-existent one. He is the self-existing one who reveals Himself. He used some 7 different names to tell a different characteristics about Himself. And when sin entered in and redemption became necessary, it was Jehovah Elohim who sought the sinning ones, the sinner, to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in our age when Christ came and died for our sin. So again, through the Lord God and sacrifice, He reveals Himself and then shows us His loving compassion for us who are fallen. And salvation by Jehovah apart from sacrifice is unknown in Scripture. You cannot find since Adam sinned that where salvation is apart from sacrifice. has been a sacrifice all the way from the very day one in his particular time. And so now he gives these different names, which in turn gives us something about God. And here he says, the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. It's interesting. You see, Genesis means origin. It means starting in event, in the beginning. When he talks about the beginning of the universe, which we don't even come close to understanding. The solar system, even our solar system, we don't understand. When you talk about life, evil, marriage, language, order, organs of government, culture, nations, religion, and we could go on. There's a beginning of that somewhere or another. And it all started back in Genesis, and other things started and began their existence as things were needed down through life. Order and complexity never arises spontaneously. A man is a fool to think that everything happens spontaneously. If that happens, there's going to be a mind behind it somewhere or another. Listen to me, and I believe this with all my heart, and the last few weeks of studying this, if matter had its own power to come into existence, I'm going to say this slowly so you hear it. If matter has its own power to come into existence, ladies and gentlemen, it would be a God. Matter would be a God. And if that be the case, then if there is a God, then matter would be equal with that God. And I say to you, there is a God, but God created matter. And that makes the difference, you see. It is true that there are many things we don't understand, but they do not influence our decision or undermine our belief in God as our creator. Man can make and form things from what God has created, but he cannot create nothing out of nothing. Or create something out of nothing, I should say. He can't do that. He has not the power. They're talking about now that, you know, they're going to invent life. In places they're working a lot of things. There's going to still be something about God's all creation already for that to happen. There's a lot of things we'd alter. There's a lot of things we can do. But we cannot create out of nothing, a vacuum, and bring something into existence. So the four things I want to look at quickly, get two of them tonight, and then we'll pick up the rest of them next week. I don't want to get to the display on the DVD that Johnny helped me make up. Number one is this. I accept Genesis 1. In chapters 1, 2, and 3 as an account of God's creation. Man makes or forms things only God can create. Scientists may make predictions and that are based upon assumptions. I have something better than assumption. I have the Word of God. I believe that. I would spend the last 2 or 3 weeks, over a month, on this message and trying to bring it down if I did not believe that God Himself is the author of all this. And as I look at it, I see Adam means man, Eve means mother of all living. They were intelligent beings. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible called the Pentateuch or the Torah. And again, when I look into the scriptures, I see Genesis is quoted more than 60 times in the New Testament. That proves to me that the New Testament, including Jesus Christ himself, believed what the record was of God. He was there, he's the author of it, and he's also the creator of it. You find subjects such as marriage in Matthew chapter 19, the beginning of that. You find it where the flood came, Matthew 24. It's referred to back there. In Luke 24, the beginning of Moses and his teachings. In Mark 12, Jesus talked about Moses and the burning bush. They reference back at least some 60 times or more in the New Testament about what took place in the Old Testament. So I accept Genesis 1 and chapter 1, 2, and 3. Kind of creation. Number two, God reveals himself as the powerful creator. He never changed from that. A God of order, a God of logic, a God of reason, a God of masterful planning. That's our God. Purpose of Genesis, listen to me, is not to answer man's questions. He didn't answer man's question about what he thinks about how things began. He ought to just say, God, you did it, and I believe it. Hey, listen to me. The purpose of Genesis is for us to be led to worship this great, wonderful, gigantic God. Amen. Look at what he did and fall down before him and worship him. Rather than start questioning and then doubting and let Mother Eve tell us about the things that we should or should not think about God in those days. Nor should it make us astronomers or geologists. He didn't write it for that. God created man as the most highly organized and complex entity in His universe. And I accept Genesis' account of creation. I accept God as the all-powerful creator. And then the third thing, I believe that God creation is balanced. When I look at things, a lot of things I don't know. But I'm glad what little I do know. What little I do know makes me long to see Him. What little I do know makes me long to get in His presence. I mean really see Him with eyes rather than through faith. I mean to see Him in His magnificence, power, and gigantic, powerful God that He is. And one day we will do just that because of Jesus Christ. Who can define God? Who can put a date on this infinite one? How do you measure God? I know this. 2 Peter puts it this way. 2 Peter says this. If you want to read that later or read, turn down with me to read it. He says in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and down about verse 8. We've heard this many times. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. That in itself, I want to tell us a little about it as far as His operation. When we deal with God, we lay aside our almanacs. We lay aside our books. God is without measure. In Romans 11, verse 33 through 36, God's ways are beyond human thinking. We literally bow to God's ways. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8 through 9, no act of human rebellion can stop His will. No act of human rebellion can stop His ways. This great God. As a matter of fact, our theology becomes our own doxology when we look at Him. Literally, our theology to learn about God becomes a doxology which we give Him praise. You can't help but give Him praise. I'd be studying alone. All of a sudden, I'd have to stop and praise God because He's so beyond. And I find my mind just vibrating with wanting to learn more and more. And He's so much beyond what I can learn that it just seemed like an impossible task. And yet you keep learning and keep learning. And by the way, you can keep learning throughout eternity about Him because of who He is. When humanity does not allow God to rule, God overrules for His behalf because of His best. God always knows what He is doing. And He knows what we're doing. Again, in the beginning, denotes a time without a date. The universe is made of all space, all time, all matter. Space is the place, and we're going to look at that. In the beginning is the time, and matter includes the energy. And when you put these together, space, each one of these depend upon the other to exist. You had time in the beginning. You had space, which is no end. And you have energy placed in space with a beginning of time. And energy had a beginning in that period called time. God inserted time for us to measure things with, because you can't measure Him eternity, eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. You can't even measure time. It blows your mind when you begin to look at figures. Figures are so great in God's creation that we and I can't even do it mathematically. We have to put things together and give it a name to it. We have to like say, you know, traveling through space. You know, it ain't like traveling 55 mile an hour on 70 or 50, 70 highway or 70 mile an hour on 40. You have to say, hey, best way to is talk in space is light years. 186,000 miles a second. Think how long it'd take you to go to the West Coast if you could travel like that. You'd have to have something other than what you got now, I'll tell you that. Travel that fast. And that's just mind-boggling, but we're going to look at a lot of those figures in the next 2 weeks. Again, there's time, there's space, and there's energy. And the thing about this is, time had a beginning. And God created not only the time, but a space for the energy to be in. God, who is not energy, though some like to say He is. Hey, He's more powerful than energy because He created energy.
You can't equate energy to him because he created energy. You can't create something that someone creates to be equal with the creator. Because you do, you got a God with a God. And by the way, there's only one true and living God. He exists forever. And we have to realize that. So God created the heavens. He created the universe. He created the galaxies. He created things out there that the educational world sees that you and I never see. We read about once in a while. And I want to tell you what's true. There's so much that God has given us about what's out there today through the modern day studies and the huge telescopes we have and so forth. It amazes me what we know about a little bit of the universe that we're living in. Certainly our galaxies and some galaxies beyond there. God created the earth. Now out of all of this great gigantic space with all the gigantic galaxies, we have a little galaxy called the Milky Way, and then we come to a little planet Earth. We go look a few minutes. Just one of the smaller ones in the boondocks of the Earth, and that's where he put man, on that little planet called Earth. And here again, he created the heavens, he created the universe, he created the galaxies. And then God created the Earth. Now the rest of the Bible at the creation is God dealing with man of his creation in John 1, 3 and others. Isn't it amazing? Whatever you and I have anything to do with God is about how he deals with us, his creation. He lets us find these other things, not for us just to have the knowledge, but to understand who he is and who we are and how great he is beyond who we are. But we think sometimes that we change it around, that God no longer is the one that we look to. He's the one on the string that we can dangle. No, sirree. If there's any dangling, don't he's going to do it. He's all powerful and he can do just that. God's creation design. In divisions of land and water and air and atmosphere. We see that in the first few chapters. This is kept by the word of God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. You know, for verse 2, earth was without form and void. If all the substance of this universe were not created entirely by God. And here's the thing. In all that we see and that we don't see that's invisible that we will never see till we get the glorified body. In all this universe that we see, the substance were not created entirely by God, then that which he did not create would have to co-eternal exist with him. He says he's eternal from everlasting to everlasting. Now, if he didn't create it, then that which is created had to coexist with him. And it doesn't do that. He is the author of everything that you and I will ever see or do see as far as this life is concerned. He did create all things. He is sovereign. Man was created with intelligence. Man was not created ignorant. He may have went in some ignorant situations in the years of history past, but Adam and Eve were smart. And Adam was probably the smartest man other than Jesus Christ ever walked this earth. Now, Solomon was wise. But I'll tell you this. Adam was smart. Anybody name all the animals God created, he's got a good mind. And he named them according to the character, too. He didn't say, well, listen, I'm going to name you Bud, and you Bubble, and you didn't need to do that. He had some reason behind why he did. What he did is he looked at him. God gave him that ability. The chronology of the earth is reckoned from creation of man and not the earth. God doesn't let us look at time back from when he did create to begin with. He lets us start when we were created, knowing that that was already here at the time. And of course, he puts it in a seven-day period. And I believe that's seven literal days. And the reason for that is this, because sin in itself did not originate for man until after Adam sinned. Now, the angels sinned in heaven, but things on this earth, Adam brought the curse to you and I, not an angel. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Adam, if he had not sinned, I don't care how many angels sinned, you and I wouldn't be in the state we're in today. So Adam calls us the problem we're in now. And Jesus has made a way for us to get released from that, from the curse, you see. So man's special characteristics are language and thought. And without thought and without language, we don't have society. If you and I didn't have thought and language, we'd have no society. All we would have is a pack running around like a bunch of animals in instinct. But you and I have a language. You and I have a thought which brings words to communicate. Animals do not. They communicate by sounds and they communicate by instinct. Somebody said, well, I heard a dog say, oh, one moment. No, you heard a dog say something, but he didn't know what he was saying. Amen? I'm hungry. Yeah, that's right. He might have said it, but it was the way he said it. I guarantee you that dog didn't know what he was saying. He knew when he gets hungry, but he didn't know to come up and say, I'm hungry. No, he didn't know that. He knew when to eat. I'm telling you, he didn't think it. He said, you know, I'm hungry. I'm going to go ask my maker if he'd give me something to eat. I'm hungry. No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that at all. Man's special character is a language and thought. And free to make choice to know right and wrong. God's given us that ability. And even more so as a child of God. So now, from that era, I'm going to leave the notes for next week. And I want to go into the slide here tonight for a few minutes. And I want you to think with me as I look at what I'm started to do and look at God's creation and from standpoint of where we're at. And we're going to start pursuing, as I've done so much studying, as so much I don't know, but as we try to pursue where we're at to see how great this God is. And then next week, we're going to really pursue millions of light years into space and see what man has found with telescopes. And what, because he has seen and is happening, he sees others, that other things that he knows is even bigger than what he has seen. As a matter of fact, there's some galaxies that are so brilliant and gigantic in color that when you get in, you can't see anything else in the universe. It's like a Shekinah glory of God because of the lights they put out. I'm talking about the galaxy. I'm not talking about just planets in the galaxy. It is amazing, this universe that we're looking at. Now, I want you to just think with a few minutes and look at these pictures, how small our Earth is. And even our sun, as compared to the rest of the many other stars and the suns and the galaxies, we're talking about God's universe that he created. Only God can make something as great and as big, as infinite as we see the universe and even as we see of ourselves. And yet at the same time, though he's this great God who created all of this and beyond we can't see, he's a God that's concerned about the smallest things that you and I are involved with. That overwhelms me. God who's running this universe is concerned about me. He's concerned about you. Hey, I can say, hey, he's concerned about us, but that's more. I am personally to him and so are you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's just not us, thank God for that, but it's you, me, individually. Simultaneously, at the same time, this great God is concerned about us. Now, we're pretty small in this universe, as you'll see. Jesus said, every hair on our head is numbered in Matthew 10. He is supreme over both the macrocosm and the macrocosm, which has to do with the universe and has to do with what we see around here. These large term words, I try to, they mean a whole lot. You can say those words and mean a whole lot, where if you didn't, you had to explain a whole lot. The largest feathers objects in the created universe gets bigger and bigger and bigger than what we see here. Now, this is really fascinating. And, brother, if you give us the first go, I will show you. We are very familiar with this. And I'm going to turn around and look this way. We're very familiar with this. Of course, we know that this is the Earth. We know Venus. You got Mars, Mercury, and Pluto. Now, when you think about our galaxy, which is in the Milky Way. I want to give you some insight. I'm going to go back to you, but as you look at that, I wrote some things down. In fact, some of this I wrote this afternoon over here for a few hours. Milky Way. Our Milky Way. Everybody's heard that. The Milky Way. What's the Milky Way? It's not a piece of candy. Amen. It's a gigantic billions of stars. The Milky Way is billions of stars and clouds of interstellar gases lie near the plane of our galaxy. The diameter of the Milky Way, and you can look these up, is 100,000 light years. 100,000 light years. Now, let me just give you a comparison to that for just a moment. 100,000 light years. Did you know that a light year is the time that light would travel 186,000 miles per second, that for it to travel a light year, it would travel at 186,000 miles per second to 6,000 billion years in 1 year. It could literally, light year is 6,000 billion miles, I should say, in 1 year. I said, well, that's how much it would be. You can't even fathom that. And yet, these things are filled out and are given to us
in the studies that we have today. You look at it, it takes 200 million years for the Milky Way to make one rotation. Just a complete rotation. Galileo, in 1610, began to show the Milky Way in the telescope. He was so excited about it. And once he got it together, he went to the churches and tried to get them to see how great God was. And they thought he was full of heresy. They wouldn't even look at it. He wouldn't even go to the telescope and look at it. The church wasn't in those early days. Because they had looked at God as being something smaller than who he really was. And I'm afraid a lot of church people look at it that way also. Now, if you look at Earth to start with, this is a what they call terrestrial globe. The Earth is about 7,927 miles in diameter. It's the fifth largest planet in our solar system. It's the third in distance from the sun. It takes about 365 days for rotation, and it takes about 24 hours for one rotation turning around. See, it's turning this way, and it's also going around as far as the sun. The sun is not even the center of our galaxy, but is the center of our solar system where we're at. Then we move over here to Venus, and you look at this. Venus is the goddess of love and beauty given to it through the years. It's the second diameter. It's the second further distance from the sun. Most brilliant planet in our solar system. It's 7,600 miles in diameter. It takes 243 days to go around the sun. Now notice, as we look at these, they get smaller. Mars, for instance. Mars is the fourth in distance. It's from the sun. It literally is red in color. It's 4,200 miles in diameter. It's 687 years to go around the sun, and yet it only takes 24 hours and 37 minutes to rotate one time. When you look at Mercury, it's 3,000 miles in diameter. It's nearest to the sun and takes 88 days to go around it. When you look at Pluto, and even now they say Pluto is not looked at as a planet, but we still keep it in there. It's 3,700 miles in diameter. It's the outermost planet, if you leave it as a planet, and takes about 248 years to rotate around. Now, when you look at these planets together, that's just what we can see with our eyes today. We're on Earth. We can see a little bit of Venus at a certain time at night, and we can see many of these more so with the telescope. Go to the next slide. Now, I want you to note in proportion. Got to go back, brother. Come too fast. There you go. Now, look here. In comparison to Uranus and Neptune and Saturn and Jupiter, which is over here. Can we get that? Can you slide that over, fellas, a little bit? All right, we can. But anyhow, notice, here is Pluto. Now, by the way, these are by scale in the size of these, as near as they could do it. This is Pluto, and you move over to here, and then you see the ones we looked at, and here you come again till you get to Earth. Look in size of what these are compared to these. Then you come up, and you look at Jupiter. Jupiter's 88,000 miles in diameter. It takes 9.9 hours to rotate, and it takes 11.86 years in its solar system. Then you move to Saturn. I'm talking about just what God has created. It's the second largest planet in the solar system. It's 72,000 miles in diameter. It's 10 hours and 14 minutes in rotation. It takes 29.6. They got tropical years. You have to change. You just can't have years. You have to have expansion of years and give names to it when it comes to Saturn. Then you come down here and go further and you see Uranus here. Uranus is seventh distant from the sun. It's 29,500 miles in diameter. Takes 84 years to go around the sun. Takes 10 hours and 45 minutes to make its rotation for that to get around the sun. Each one of these, as we look where we're at in comparison to the sun and what we're doing, we're going to be going towards the sun and away from the sun as we look at each one of these planets from where we're at as far as Earth is concerned. And then look at Saturn.
Saturn, again, is, we didn't look at that, hadn't we? Yeah. Neptune is eighth in distance from the sun. 29,516 miles in diameter, 165.9 years around the sun. Takes 12 hours and 43 minutes to make a complete rotation. Each one of these are many miles away from each other as we travel through space. All right, go to the next one. Now we come to the sun. Well, look again. Look where Pluto's at. Come across each one to where Earth's at. Come to these over to Jupiter. And now we're getting close to the sun, which is so far from that, it's amazing. This is the star that's nearest to the Earth that we see. And at this time, it is 864,400 miles in diameter. It's at least 30,000 light years from the center of the Milky Way. It's out on the edge of our Milky Way. When you look at this, again, it is 93 million miles away. It is 1,300,000 times larger than the Earth. No wonder the Earth's so small when you look at it here. 1,300,000 times larger than the Earth. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, right here in the universe is where God put man. Don't look too important, does it? But He is. He is. What a wonderful thing. Beyond our sun. This is just to get many light years and traveling to the sun. And now we look beyond this. We ain't got nowhere. We're still in the boondocks of the universe. Okay, look at the next one. When you go to the next one, you can see now we're moving out into space further. You remember how big the sun was in compared to the Earth? Look at the sun now. Compared to Arcturus. And when you look at Sirius and Pollux, these ones, it's interesting. Did you know that the brightest star that's in the constellation of what they call the Canis Minor is this star? Also, the giant red star. Let's see. This one here is Pollux. It's in Gemini's brightest star in the constellation. This one right here is a giant red star of first magnitude. And they can't even talk about how wide. They just say how big is first magnitude. Has to deal with the way they measure. It's the brightest of the constellation Bootes here in this star. Now, we have come from the sun. You can't even see Earth the size from this air. It's too small. Are you seeing something? I'm talking about a great God, folks. I'm talking about a God you never dreamed about what could do. You think Earth is big because we're here and our relationship's there. But this God is showing us He's unlimited. And what He has done is beyond what you can think. He deserves to be falling down before and worship because He's God. Now I want you to look. Arcturus, go to the next one. Now here, we move on. They get bigger as you go. Arcturus is the 15th brightest star in the sky. And the thing about it is, when you look at this one, it's the 15th brightest star in the sky. And the thing about it is 1,000 light years away. 1,000 light years away. That means that it is, one light year is 6,000 billion, would be probably quadrillion. That is 6 and 12 zeros miles away. They're so far apart, it's impossible just about to run into anything. And yet there's so much dust and space matter out there. We're talking about all the time that something may hit the Earth a little bit later. Here, as you look at these, you see that this one on this side, Betelgeuse, is the second brightest star in the Orion. It's 700 million miles in diameter. Can you imagine that? No wonder you can't even see Earth now compared to that. And you move on. It's several times bigger than Earth's orbit around the sun. As the Earth orbits around the sun, this star is bigger than the movement around the sun of the Earth. That one star is bigger than our rotation of the earth around the sun.
Then we move into these others and look at Antares. Here's a giant red star, brightest in the Scorpio. It's the first magnitude. Amazing thing about this. If you look at if you look at 6,000 billion miles, that's the way light travels in 1 year at 186,000 miles a second. It travels 6 and 12 zero miles in 1 year at 186,000 miles per second. What a God we have. Now, what I want you to do is just for a moment. Now, I'm not going to go any further here because we could just go on and pick them out. But now I want us to look at the galaxy. And what we're going to do is look at the universe in part of a galaxy. Next slide, which is going to lead us a little further out. And then following week, we're going to go way on out and look. I'm talking about a God, folks. You can't even imagine in your mind how great He is. And He loved humanity. Go to the next slide. Now, this is an interesting slide here because this is a slide taken by... Whoa, what happened, fellas? But Johnny, help us out there, brother. Did it go too fast, too far? The one we need to see the best. He showed the other night. We was here Wednesday night. Amen. Johnny, get it for us. We lost six. We lost six, all right. Well, Satan had to get it somewhere or another, didn't he? When you see, now we've just been looking at planets and stars in our galaxy and in around beyond our galaxy. It won't come up with it, Johnny. Yeah. No, that's the next one, isn't it? That's the last one. Well, let me just show. We can't just stay there, brother. Be all right. Finish this up tonight. Next week we'll clear it up a little more. If you could see this. Now, the thing, before you get here, this is very humbling because here you're seeing a close-up of the darkest region in the universe that we can see through this one telescope. Ladies and gentlemen, these are galaxies. Not just planets and stars. A galaxy is literally, a galaxy is a star system that contains billions of stars. And these are galaxies. Now, we've looked in our galaxy and saw the different stars as we look from ours to Pluto right on out till we get to the sun and beyond the sun and how big they are. And some of the stars are bigger, a million times bigger than what the earth is. Now we're looking at galaxies. But the thing about this is when you look at this last one, it's humble to look deep into space and see entire galaxies being light years away that looks like a star. Bigger than the Milky Way, and you can't see nothing because all those stars in that galaxy are shining, and it looks like one big star rather than billions of stars to make up a galaxy. And when you look at that and go beyond, you'll find out that this would be much broader than the slide before that, but this one here is looking further into space, and the thing about it is, I want you to notice, these are thousands, millions of miles in light years across. And look at the space, in space, from these different units. Boy, space is a big thing, isn't it? Just think about it. Hey, God created space. He started time. He created space. And He also created energy. And He put the energy in space. And He put space in time. So we can look at things as they are. I told you years ago, I had an engineer assigned to my apartment. I'll tell you again tonight. I will never forget one day we were talking. He always loved to come to my table and sit down because we had lunchtime. He'd want to talk about
things beyond just the Bible. And he'd talk about the universe and, you know, and he was a very smart man. And one day he came in and said, Charlie, he called me Charlie. Charlie said, I want to ask you a question. And I've been studying last night, and it just blows my mind. He said, you think you know enough about God? And I thought about space. He said, now, hey, I know everything that you see and can see or study is in space. And I want to ask you a question. Somewhere or another, there's got to be an end of space. There's got to be a wall somewhere or another. You can't go no further. Because everything has a beginning, everything has an end. And he said, I want to ask you a question. When you get to end of space, what's beyond? And I know God gave me the answer. I said, space. He said, you didn't understand what I said. Yeah, you didn't understand what I said. Yes, that's what the word space means. It has no ending to it. And God has placed all of this stuff in there for that particular purpose. And so what I want you to look at the road that we have gone tonight is interesting road. Let's see. We started out, of course, we started out with earth, but I want to start a little further than that. Let's go back and give you some comparison how great God is. You take an atom. An atom is 10,000 to 100,000 times larger than its nucleus. You can't even see it. But it's larger than its nucleus. And I'm fixing clothes for those who might get you boring. One human being is 10 billion times larger than an atom. Earth is 10 million times larger than a human being. The radius of the sun is 100 times larger than Earth. Look where we start with a little atom here on this earth, which makes humanity, because everything is made of atoms, but we're talking about which these cells' energy comes from. Earth is 10 million times larger than what a human being is. The radius of the sun is 100 times larger than the earth, just the radius of the sun. The Milky Way galaxy has a radius of 1 trillion. That's 1,000 billion times larger than the sun. That's the Milky Way. And the sun is put over here to the side. The Milky Way is kind of a twirling thing with stars and lights on the end, like a mass of, as it turns, and at night it looks more, you see the more milky side out than you can in the daytime. Then, when you talk about Milky Way as a radius of 1,000,000,000,000 larger than the sun, clusters of a galaxy, which we're seeing here, that's clusters of a galaxy. These are galaxies. They're not stars. They're not planets. The cluster of galaxies are hundreds times larger than individual galaxies within them. It's interesting. These clusters, these stars that makes a cluster, some of these galaxies, 100 times larger the clusters are than the galaxy itself. I'm talking about a God who's beyond our thinking or imagination. The visible universe is thousands of times larger than a cluster of galaxies. In fact, you can't even measure the distance as far as the universe is concerned. The invisible universe is thousands of times larger than the cluster of galaxies. And all galaxies here, all these galaxies appear to what they can study are rotating around a nucleus. They're not still. They're turning. They're rotating. And they're moving through space. Not only are they not rotating around a nucleus, they're moving through space as they rotate. And a galaxy, again, is a star system containing of billions of stars. So each one of these galaxies attain billions of stars. They're shaped all kinds of shapes. They're shaped different ways and so forth. And then I want you to understand, it's God who says that I am God. There's none other than me that made all of this. He is the creator. Seeing these things beyond what our eye can see, He's the creator. Now next week I want to finish this. And what we're going to do, we've not even touched the crust. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, it sounds like something out of Buck Jones' funny book years ago. Only Buck Jones, what was that guy? What? Buck Rogers. Okay.
Amen. You know, I won't pay much attention, but I heard of that book, Rogers, Something in the Future. Folks, you see why? Do you see why it's so great that man without God, he's overwhelmed. He has no answer. And he don't have God, so he don't have no assurance of anything. So he makes up what he can do by what he has available in the field of science, they say. God created science. And God lets man find many things through science. But you can't go but so far. And then you come to a wall. You're going to have someone help penetrate that wall. And God does just that. The penetration of creation is in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And then on the sixth day, he created the crown of creation by creating a bunch of dirt and forming it and making man and created him in his own image and placed him on this earth. And man fell. Hey, let me ask you a question. With all of this, and you've not seen nothing yet, hey, next week when we finish, you can't even begin to measure in light years on this trip. Because it's so vast, they have to put it in brackets and say that's so many light years to do what little they want to do and show in this particular era of going into space. And see what happens. You get so far out, you can't even see the Milky Way. You can't see it. And you can't see the constellations. Because once you get to a point, the other galaxies' lights begin to take over, and you can't see back. You can't in some places see it through a telescope because of the brilliance of the lights of those planets and those stars in those different galaxies. Ladies and gentlemen, there's literally billions of galaxies that we know of through the wonderful study in the last, 40 or 50 years. Literally billions of it, they estimate. And that's not even close to probably what's out there. There's no end. No end. That's our God. My Father, please honor yourself to this. We can't take so much in, Lord, but let us see what we can take in. Help us understand it. I know this. We have an awesome God. He loves humanity. This God whose word holds this together by the word of his power loves that created being. He created intelligent. Everything in this creation is not intelligent. It works according to the laws of God. And the Lord's there in place. There's some stars exploding. And even in the created period of God, there's some places they see that some of these things are taking place today and creating new systems. But it's not the created hand of God. It's using the laws of God as things work together. And because man can analyze that, they think it started that way years ago. Well, I'm glad to know you started it and your laws work. And dear Father, you can accomplish anything you want to accomplish as you see fit to do that so that your will may be carried out. And I want to say this tonight. Lord, I don't know if anyone else got anything out of this, but the study of this for the last month has expounded my heart to a place to look at you through eyes of the Scriptures as an awesome God. And dear God, I prayed it before, but not like I do now. To thank the God who made all of this. To thank the God who made us. To think that God has this kind of power and doesn't need man in his scrummy little ways. He loved man enough that he prepared a way that whereas we not only be your creation and you be our God, but you establish a relationship so we can know you as our Heavenly Father. No wonder there's no need to fear with a God like this. And I may not understand a lot of things that happens in my life, but I know my God's in control. And I know one of these days, before long, we're going to see him face to face. What an awesome thought that we could see God who through the eyes of faith we see now. And it's going to happen one day. I don't care what the world says. I don't care if they laugh at us and mock us. Dear God, we know it's true. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.